You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Earlier this week, a 220,000-ton cargo ship got stuck in Egypt's Suez Canal. The cargo ship MV Ever Given is longer than the Sky Tower is tall and has blocked all boats from going through. The Suez Canal is one of the most important global trade routes, making it a week faster for boats to get between Europe and Asia. Over 10% of global trade passes through the canal, so the blockage presents a significant issue. I spoke to Dr. Murat Ungor, an economics professor from the University of Otago, on the implications of the blockage, how it came about, and what this means for the global trade system moving forward. I started by asking why cargo ships are so integral to the global trade system.
So one thing which is important is that we had a revolution in international trade around 1950s. And that revolution was the containers, large metal containers. So the invention of large metal containers increased productivity in transport and productivity in the overall business. Because if you look at all those ships, they carry large metal container boxes. So these boxes were invented in 1950s in the United States, and then they were implemented easily and immediately in the ship business. So they increased the productivity and they lowered the transport cost across the globe and increased the international trade. So it's actually known as a revolution in international trade. It's a very, very important step for international trade. So, and Suez Canal is very important because every single day almost, there are lots of ships going from Netherlands to China or from China to Netherlands or from like Asia to Europe and from Europe to Asia. And those ships, large ships, carry many, many containers. And in those containers, we see whether final goods, final finished product goods, or some intermediate goods used in the production of other final goods. So through that canal, more than 10% of global trade passes. This is very important. We are talking about the connection between Asia and Europe. We are talking about the connection between the Mediterranean Sea to the Red Sea. So that's why it is particularly important. And whenever there is a disruption, then, because of that evergreen, so all other ships are not able to move. So there is a big traffic jam, if you like, congestion. And therefore, there is a disruption in international trade. Think about all the technology firms in Asia. Because right now we have multinational companies. We have complex products. If you look at cell phones, if you look at your laptops, there are many, many components of a cell phone, mobile phone, of a laptop. And each component is produced in different countries. So, for example, chips are produced in Japan, cameras are produced in Germany, and microprocessors are produced in Finland. And then they're all traveled, coming back to China and assembled in China. So, because of this trade disruption, those intermediate goods, those components are not able to go to their final destinations. That's why there's a disruption to the production of the goods, and that's why there is a disruption to the international trade. So the key thing is that today we have multinational companies producing different products and different components of final products. We have complex products, mobile phones, laptops, large passenger aircrafts, for example, and there are zillions of components to be able to produce these final products. And every single day, these components pass through that canal via international trade from one country to another country. So right now, such a process is disrupted. That's why it is important for the global trade. And we can even see that there's an increase in uncertainty in international trade because we don't know when things are going back to normal.
And so the long-term implications of this? I know you've said we don't know when it's going to come back, but is it going to affect us here in New Zealand?
The answer is yes, because New Zealand is also part of those supply chain, because we both import and export, and then we import, look at all the imported goods, all these machineries, electronic equipment, etc. So whenever there's a disruption in international trade, also price mechanism will adjust. So basically, we can also see some short-run price hikes for some technology-related products because of these delays in international trade. So it can affect in the short run prices, and import prices can increase. And once import prices increase, then our terms of trade will go down, because terms of trade is defined as the export price divided by the import price. And whenever export price increases, this is good news for the country, and the terms of trade increases. But whenever import prices increases, then terms of trade deteriorates. And this is not a good news for the country. Welfare of a country can decrease in the short run. So one short run uncertainty is that price of the technological products can increase, because right now there is a disruption in the supply. That's why the shortage of supply for certain goods can increase the price of those goods. And since New Zealand is importing such products, this can create some effects for New Zealand, especially for the technology-related products.
Does the fact that the global economy can be this affected by essentially what was a bit of bad weather suggest some issues or fragility in the global economy?
This is the important question, and the answer is yes. In fact, if we are really, really talking about the a very long run, we know that there's global warming, and some of the ice in the Arctic region is melting. So there are actually new trade routes are opening because of this global warming. So right now, when you export goods from Europe to Asia, when they move or when they travel through Suez Canal, then yes, there is some distance. But because of the global warming, in the long run, there's going to be Arctic trade route. And the Arctic trade route is actually a shorter trade route. So basically, there is one only positive effect, perhaps, the global warming, is that we can have a new alternative trade route in the very long run, of course, not immediately, so that instead of using the Suez Canal, and we can actually shorten the distance. And another important thing is that if you are exporting perishable products, if you are exporting dairy products, agricultural goods, and some of them have to travel immediately, right? So whenever there's a disruption or whenever there's a weather problem, then those perishable products are very fragile. And especially the dairy product exporters, agricultural product exporters. I'm not talking about the processed goods, but I'm talking about the real fruit exporters or the exotic product exporters. It can really affect their export volumes. So in the long run, we will see and we will talk more about the tangible effect of weather and related issues on international trade.
Yeah, and so these companies who are transporting perishable products, there's going to be big implications for them. Is the owners of Evergreens, the boats that got stuck, are they likely to get sued or get in some trouble for this?
All right. So basically, I think this is also related to international laws, because I'm sure that there are very complicated, very complex contracts written on that. On each transport. So basically, we have to go through details of the of those contracts. But I don't know who is actually responsible. Let's say that there's a human error, or let's say that this is actually the error of the ship. So there's a some kind of structural problem caused by the ship for this disruption. Then perhaps the other companies, or the countries like the trade ministers, they can even think about the possibility of such negotiations. I'm not just talking about going to court process immediately, but first they can go to the WTO, World Trade Organization, because World Trade Organization is the first and only international organization. When countries have trade disputes, they go to the WTO, World Trade Organization. I'm sure that there will be several heated debates in the WTO. But first we have to look at all these details of the contract. So because this ship is owned by a Japanese company, but actually Taiwanese firm is running the ship. So there's also a complex relationship of the ownership and the running and the organization. So we're not just talking about the one owner or one company that runs the entire transportation. So there are multinationals from different countries are part of this. And I'm sure that there will be many heated debates regarding to who to blame in terms of responsibility and who is going to take the burden of this problem.
And so one final question. Was sure. this incident foreseeable?
When you think about such large ships, this is inevitable. For example, I'm from Turkey, and there's an Istanbul Bosphorus, and each year we have some similar problems in Bosphorus. Whenever a large ship passing through the Bosphorus, there's always a problem. So this is, of course, not a problem that you see every single day in Suez Canal, but yes, I think there are some historical accidents. If you look at some history, I don't remember particular examples, but there are also some examples when we go through the historical anecdotes. So at the end of the day, this is not unforeseeable, but we didn't know the exact date. So that's why I think insurance companies and the international trade contracts for each transport covers or has some items, has some paragraphs written specifically for such possibilities of or uncertainties. So to some extent, so basically there's a risk. So to some extent, insurance companies roll over these risks or account for those risks when they have contracts with the companies.
That was Dr. Murat Ungor from the University of Otago on the implications of a large cargo ship blocking the Suez Canal.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.